Billy and his lights. Okay, great. Are we back on the air? Billy, are we on? All right, you are listening to 66.6 KTRP, your home for the holidays. Merry Christmas, dear listeners. I'm Gore Labor. It's the Witching Hour, and we're broadcasting live once again from the KTRP studio after a momentary disruption courtesy of the severe ice storm that's been hammering the metro area for the past several hours. I was having a conversation with my producer, Billy Bones, during our little involuntary break, and here's the current situation. The studio lost power around 20 minutes ago. We're currently back up and running courtesy of our emergency generators. The satellite uplink was lost around the same time, so you will unfortunately not be hearing the rest of Dr. Butcher's scheduled broadcast tonight. I know that's a bummer. And just to put a rotten cherry on this Sunday, yeah, you can't bleep me now, can you? Can you bleep me? Oh, the phone lines are out of commission until at least mid-morning. Now, of course, this may be small potatoes considering how the situation around town has deteriorated over the past several hours. We've been getting consistent reports of widespread power outages, traffic accidents, collapsed roofs, fallen trees, you name it, throughout the night. Things are bad out there this Christmas night, dear listener. And if you can hear my voice and you're currently safe and warm, you should count your blessings because it looks like this apocalyptic ice storm might be slowly coming to an end here in the metro area. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Of course, before The World Outside became the set of a bad Roland Emmerich movie, 66.6 KTRP, your home for the holidays. I have to really hit that every time, was in the midst of a 24-hour fundraising marathon for the J. Bailey Memorial Foundation. My intrepid colleague, Carrie Coronary, was in the field with our hourly sponsors, and yours truly was holding things together here in the studio, taking your calls and your donations. Before the phone lines went down, we were well on our way to reaching our goal of $50,000 to help needy families in the metro area. But since we can unfortunately no longer take your calls, we have had to make the hard decision to temporarily suspend the conclusion of our fundraising efforts for the time being. As to when we'll be able to finish this campaign, that's a conversation for a moment. Is it set up, Billy? Are we ready? Okay, I'm ready. Thumbs up from my producer, so we're going to try and get our friend Carrie Coronary back on the air with us. We are patching him through my personal phone, and I think he's on right now. Carrie, can you hear me? Are you back on the air?
Are you there? Are you there, Gore?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hey!
We are broadcasting live from the KTRP studio.
We're back.
The gruesome twosome, I guess, have been officially reunited. I don't know. Is that a Christmas miracle?
With the shit going down, sorry, Billy. Hope you get your finger on the trigger. It might be a Christmas miracle. We're even broadcasting anything right now. I'm on location. Simon's Consignment and Cassette Circus. It's just me and Simon here, and we are thoroughly snowed the fuck in. Surprised I could even get a signal out to you at all. I'm only like 4 miles away, but
yeah, you might as well be on the surface of the moon right now, considering how much ice is out there. It's a nightmare.
You can even hear me right now.
You never made it to Phantom Planet.
I did not even make it to Phantom Planet books, and that was where we were going to have the beer garden. So I'm kind of upset because Simon's just has like a couple candy bars and a soda. There's not even like a snack bar or anything. So we have no food at all. Simon is charging me full price for everything I eat while we're here. This is kind of bullshit.
Come on.
I mean, Simon, stop. It's fine. It's all good. Pick a new album and go listen to it. I'm living on Snickers and Diet Coke over here at Simon's Consignment and Cassette Circus.
Do you have electricity right now? What's going on? What's the situation over there?
We're on... Is this like a backup generator? You got propane? Okay. We got some kind of like a propane backup. There's just a few lights on. And the soda cooler apparently is the most important thing that's plugged in because everything else seems to be off.
Are you keeping warm?
It's a little chilly. You could turn the thermostat up a couple. Okay, you're right. No, we're staying safe and warm. Yes, you're right, Simon.
I'm glad to hear it because, look, I mean, around here, okay, I don't know if you can hear it right now. Carrie, can you hear it? Because right here at the studio, it sounds like we're in the middle of a hailstorm. It is hitting the roof hard right now. Can you hear that?
Right now, Simon is blaring, what is that? The WSU Sessions from Seagull. Fantastic. Could you turn it down a little bit? We're doing the radio show. Thank you.
We're live, Simon. I'm sorry.
It was, there was a decent turnout at Roxy's, but when the weather started getting bad, I made my way to Circle Cinema, which is usually hit or miss on what kind of crowd you find at Circle Cinema. That then once we got to Simon's, that was when the shit really hit the fan.
It's Christmas, and it doesn't really matter now because you spend a little time at Roxy's. Now I'm wondering, since it is Christmas, did Santa Claus come sliding down your chimney? Or maybe you would have preferred to spend your evening, you know, watching Vixen unwrap her own presents down at Roxy's.
Oh, Mrs. Claus came sliding down the pole. I mean, the chimney. But there were some presents to be unwrapped, for sure.
Oh, that sounds good to me. What about you, Billy? Did a jolly old Saint Nick leave any presents under your tree? Or preparation A? Temperature, I can play it up again. No, Billy, I'm sure this is exactly the kind of stuff our listeners want to hear on Christmas. Thanks for sharing, I guess. Billy's got hemorrhoids, I guess. Great, thanks. I love it. This is, like, we got to fill the space somehow, pal. He's got hemorrhoids. You watch the stripper slide down a pole. And I'm here in a studio with half of our lights not working properly. The rest of them are flickering because our generators are not good. Billy Bones is kind of shifting uncomfortably in his chair. Has been for a while, and now I know why. He's got hemorrhoids, Carrie. It's Christmas. Billy's got hemorrhoids because we're all getting older, my friend. We had a plan, more donations you were going to be calling in. And we were going to ask you, dear listeners, about your favorite Christmas present. We're going to meet our goal of $50,000 raised for the J. Bailey Memorial Foundation. But since we've had to temporarily pause our fundraising efforts, we can't accept any calls because our phone lines are down. So don't call 555-KTRP. All you'll get is a busy signal. But I guess since I've got you on the horn right now, Carrie, I might as well ask you, what's your favorite Christmas present? What's the best present you ever got?
My favorite?
That's what we're doing.
My favorite Christmas present ever was a butt plug from a stripper at Roxy. No, wait. My favorite Christmas present involved a star-spangled dildo.
It's a steampunk flashlight. Denied on the real face of America. A little bit, yeah. That's so fucking cheap. I'm sorry, keep going. Carrie, what's your favorite Christmas present, my friend? Because mine is a star-spangled dildo.
Oh, I gave that to you. That meant so much. Yeah. But my favorite Christmas present ever was this mountain bike I got. It's not because I'm like a bike enthusiast or anything like that. The reason I love this mountain bike, it's a little bit bigger than my friend's bike. He had more of like a BMX style bike, so it was kind of smaller. You know, Gore, back in the day, riding down a country dirt road on your bicycle.
I don't ride down country roads on dirt bicycles or whatever the fuck you just said.
Riding down a country bicycle on my dirt road.
Look, I may be drunk. I'm sorry. It's Christmas. The studio is like an icebox right now. I'm trying to keep warm with some apple.
Though. Simon. Oh, no. Never mind. Simon leads the... Simon leads the Thursday night AA meetings. He just got his 25-year right coin, so he definitely does not have any boots lying around. So anyways, I got this mountain bike, and it wasn't like the best. It was probably from Walmart or whatever, but one of the reasons I liked this particular mountain bike so much, because it was a little bigger than my friend's bike. Sometimes he was cool, but sometimes he was kind of a douche. One day he was kind of being a dick, and we were riding down this dirt road. We were coming up this kind of intersection, had a lot of sand in it. He was kind of talking and kind of being stupid, so I used the size of this big mountain bike to kind of nudge him into the middle, and ankles over chin, face first into the sandbar, flipped over his little BMX bike, stopped faster than his momentum could stop, and got pretty fucked up. I really never once felt bad about it. Not at all. And the reason it's my favorite fucking Christmas
present. Like, did Mark stick around with a BMX bike? You're like, this piece of shit's gonna die tonight. I didn't know. Is he dead? Did you kill this guy?
I played it off as an accident, kind of accidentally, lost control and kind of nudged him, but that shit was on purpose. You know, fuck that dude.
Is Mark dead? You know what happened to him? He died.
He was working, he worked for like ABC in New York.
Never mind, he's probably doing fine then.
One AirPod is dead.
Well, what was that, Billy? I don't give a shit what your favorite Christmas present is.
Now both AirPods are dead.
Is it Preparation H, Billy? Carrie, what just happened?
And now we're just going live audio, so you're going to hear all sorts of shit. Simon's probably going to hear Simon jerking off in the corner. I don't know what he's doing over there.
Well, you're just talking directly in your phone now?
I'm just speaking into the speaker, man.
Stone Age here. Well, I mean, the show must go on. We got to keep going. I know, Billy. Yeah, you can wave your finger in the air as much as you want. It's not going to change anything. We're running on, like, duct tape and prayers right now. What do you want? The whole city is falling apart right now. I don't even know if anyone's technically listening to this show right now.
Billy, you can still send emails right now.
You're sending emails now? What are you doing?
I think Billy wants us to go to an ad break.
What are you going to play? Do we have any ads to play?
Dr. Butcher kind of got cut short.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm sure we'll be hearing from him soon. He'll be sending us emails.
I already heard from him. You know how he doesn't do his own ad reads and it's like a whole thing? He said he has one client who already paid him for an ad.
Did he send you the ad copy?
He sent me the ad, and he asked me to read it right now.
Oh, my God.
In the fucking snowpocalypse.
Fine, read his ad. Let's do this. Let's get this. All right, Billy, go ahead.
I don't know what this is, but hungry for delicacy? Need a boost in the sack? You need Frankly Fred's freeze-dried monkey nuts. Pop one of these freeze-dried fancies in your mouth today. Frankly Fred's freeze-dried monkey nuts, sterilized before eating. What the fuck is this?
Dr. Butcher, I think this is a prank. This is pathetic. I would ask to cut this, but we're broadcasting live, so it doesn't matter. This is a recording somewhere. We can't fix this. It's a clusterfuck. I'm sorry. That's what it is. That's what it is, Billy.
I feel like it's amateur hour here at...
I wish you could see it right now. He looks so put out.
More than normal?
Oh, yeah. He's hanging his head. This is pathetic. Like, I know it's Christmas. It's the season of hope and giving and all that, but if you're in the metro area right now and you can hear this, I don't know if you've got any hope left. Right now it feels like the end of the world. I'm looking at these news reports coming in. I'm thumbing through this stuff right now. It is bad. We've got injury accident. This is a nightmare. This whole situation. We're supposed to try to do a show right now. I don't know. Tell me if Dr. Butcher sent you an email about monkey nuts, and I feel like I'm going to puke.
Oh, are you still there, Carrie?
I'm still there. Why do you sound like you're talking with a lisp?
It doesn't matter. It's not important now.
Look, I don't know. Do you just want to do the news break? Should we just do the news?
What? No. We need to do your Christmas present.
What? My Christmas present?
Do you have a favorite Christmas present from your childhood?
Do you remember, like, the real Ghostbusters, the cartoon?
Yeah.
Everyone seemed to love it for a little while. I got the real Ghostbusters Firehouse.
One of the toys, you squeezed his arm and his eyeballs shot out.
They had a whole bunch of toys. I remember the Firehouse. That's what I remember. I had a good time with that. That was a cool toy. You could slime the Ghostbusters. They could slide down the pole. Slide down the pole. This is Roxy's Beach House Playhouse. Those Ghostbusters knew how to work the pole, I can tell you that much. I guess that was it, honestly, because I can't think of a whole bunch of interesting or cool toys I got for Christmas. I'm sure they existed, but that's the one that stuck. I wish I had a cool answer or something elaborate, ridiculous, like whatever you talked about with a bike and killing someone on the road. That was something. I didn't have that. I just had a Ghostbusters Firehouse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Carrie. That's as good a transition as any to reach the KTRP holiday news break. That's right. Hit the music, Billy. Billy. Billy, hit the music. Hit the news break music. Great. Okay, great. Starting off with the weather. Carrie, I don't know if you can hear me, but it is an absolute nightmare out there. I mean, we've got over 2 solid inches of ice coating everything outdoors. Our current temperature is hovering around 19 degrees Fahrenheit. We've got a blustery northern wind blowing up to 20 miles per hour. Now, this is proving to be a disastrous combination. There are trees, utility poles coming down all around the metro area. The highway is completely closed, and emergency vehicles are having a very hard time getting through the weather. EARP is currently in effect. If you don't know what that is, it's the Emergency Accident Reporting Plan. Currently in effect for all you motorists. This just in, the governor has officially declared a state of emergency for the southern half of the state. So, this is not a situation that you should be taking lightly. Now, I'm looking at the radar right now, and it appears as though this storm is just beginning to move out of the metro area, which is good news. But I think this ice is probably going to be sticking around for a while, since I don't see daytime high temperatures above freezing until Thursday at the earliest. So, this dangerous situation may not be improving in the immediate future.
Let me see if these AirPods, it says they're mostly charged, so let me actually take them out and put them in.
I pop them back in. Let's see what we can do.
All right, Carrie, are you back?
We're back on the air with Carrie Coronary on his iPods or ear pods or AirPods or whatever the fuck these pods are. Simon's consignment cassette circus.
Airbuds.
Air Bud. Yeah, that's that dog that plays basketball, right?
Look, isn't that the basketball dog?
Isn't that that basketball dog?
Swear to God, that's the dog with the
that's
basketball.
That's what the movie's called, right? Basketball dog?
Put Simon on the phone. I want to hear him. I want to hear him talk about weird stuff. Tell me about the what's behind the red curtain.
Okay, am I really on the air?
Hey, Simon. How you doing, pal?
Oh my God, it's really gore.
Yeah, I know. Could you stop for a second so we can have a conversation?
Yeah.
Fantastic. How are things?
It's f***ing cold, man. We got some good tunes.
Yeah, jump off and then eat his f***ing battle kill.
It's getting weird. Anyways, that's right.
It's 12 o'clock. It's time to rock. It's the Gruesome Twosome tonight on KTRP. Look, we're talking about... Did you play the news? Play the news break music again. There you go. Here we go.
All right.
This is exciting for us here at KTRP. I got to level with you. It looks like we can add involuntary manslaughter to the list of charges facing disgraced former KTRP employee Garrett Haggerty, a.k.a. Gary the Grinder, this holiday season, courtesy of District Attorney Tobias Bender. The list seems to be growing longer by the day. So far, we've got what? We've got embezzlement. We got grand larceny. We got identity theft, credit card fraud, and possession of stolen goods. Am I missing anything? All right, yeah. Felony evasion. That's right. Old pal Gary the Grinder fled prosecution after a warrant was issued for his arrest on November 15th. The man is in the wind and the current subject of a multi-state manhunt. That's right. We've got police officers from six different states looking into this man.
That's right, Gore. We were the last known people to talk to him when he called into our show.
Yes.
He has since gone completely underground. He could be on the other side of the world.
We don't know. And
part of the embezzlement funds involved the J. Bailey Memorial Foundation.
It goes so much deeper than that, Carrie. You recall. Carrie, I know you do. I'm sure the dear listeners do recall as well. I don't know what you call this sordid tale. It is a sordid tale. It started last year. We broke story live on the air, but local landmark Marty's Diner burned to the ground on Christmas Eve, and longtime proprietor Marty Goodman perished in the inferno. A week later, Gary the Grinder reported the substantial sum he raised during the annual J. Bailey Memorial Foundation fundraiser at Roxy's Beach House was stolen after he was assaulted by a pair of, end quotes, street toughs on his way to deposit the cash at the Mulholland Credit Union. Now, the story is too long to recount here, but needless to say, evidence has come to light over the past several months that has revealed Gary the Grinder's alleged involvement in, and this is a direct quote from the district attorney, a wide-ranging criminal conspiracy that may be related to a series of other unsolved crimes involving members of the notorious One Percenter Motorcycle Club, the Satan's Helpers. Here's the kicker. If Gary the Grinder, Garrett Haggerty, is convicted of all current charges, he's facing up to 120 years in prison. We don't even know what else is coming. Other charges may be filed in the weeks to come. But right now,
could be made, but first they gotta find Gary.
We don't know where he is. You remember last we were talking about the Toilets for Tots initiative?
Oh, yeah.
We raised
a lot of money.
The Satan's Helpers were in charge of that. And guess what? Those toilets, they're in the wind, too. We don't know where they are. We don't know what's going on. Look, this whole story,
it's all gross.
We don't know what's going on. All we know is that Gary, and this is something we had no idea, Gary the Grinder is a part of some wide-ranging criminal conspiracy.
There's definitely a web of conspiracy going on here. We do have some other news related to this, I guess. I could read that. Now that we know have a little closure about the fire at Marty's Diner, we know that the location was bulldozed and a 7 storefront strip mall was placed in that location. The first of the 7 storefronts was quickly inhabited by a Christian Science reading room. And opening next week, there's going to be a grand opening, if everything thaws out and people can move, grand opening of a new donut and tea shop called Glazed and Infused.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Proprietor of the strip mall, Franklin McManus, also wanted to mention that new tenants are welcome in the remaining 5 locations. Please call 555.
Like, we don't need to share his phone number. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. That guy, this is news. This isn't an ad. He didn't pay for this.
Right. Please contact Franklin McManus for more information.
He's on Facebook. Look him up.
His face is on billboards. Come on.
His face is going to be on billboards.
good note.
Well, your face is going to be on milk cartons. That, I guess that was the KTRP news break. It's like a world of shattered glass, and we're all going to die choking on our own blood. That was the KTRP news break. And look, Carrie, we've got a little time to kill. So why don't we talk about, let's call it a seasonally appropriate cinematic experience. Now, you invited me over a few days ago to watch a movie. Now, I heard on the phone, you said, I heard you say, It's a Wonderful Life. You know how much I love that movie. So I was pretty excited. I thought, we're going to watch a classic. I was really happy. And turns out, watched a movie called It's a Wonderful Knife. And that is not the Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed holiday classic.
Wait, that's not the movie we watched?
No, it is a... You invited me to your house. You're doing this to me. God. You can't do this to me.
Come on, Gore. I was so fucking drunk.
Did you literally think we watched It's a Wonderful Life at your house? Did you think that?
That is what I had prepared notes for, yeah.
Carrie,
that's what I thought we watched.
No, don't do this to me.
Oh, God.
You got a problem.
Tell me, watch that horror movie that just came out?
Yeah, you got a problem, my friend.
Oh, that's not good.
No, Carrie, no.
There's nothing else. There's nothing else right now.
We're running on fumes, Carrie.
Okay, well, I do kind of remember that movie. Whatever, right. Let's do it. Yeah, let's great. Give it a shot. It's a Wonderful Knife. Oh, yeah. We had a couple drinks and watched It's a Wonderful Knife. I remember that.
You had a couple of bottles of Pinot Noir.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
2023's horror comedy twist on the classic story. I don't know what you call it. It is currently, as of this broadcast, It's a Wonderful Knife is streaming exclusively on Shudder, but I'm sure if you want to pirate it, you can. Go ahead.
Billy, could you shut the door? The microphone's picking up the generator. All right, thank you, Billy. Any normal episode may be able to provide relevant audio clips from the movie we were discussing. And we had those prepared, but they're all stored on Carrie's laptop. And Carrie's laptop is in the back of Carrie's car, which is halfway across town, so it is currently inaccessible. Yeah, so that's a no-go right now, for obvious reasons. But, Billy, I do believe we can play a trailer for It's a Wonderful Life. Do you have that?
Angel outcome? Falls, I give you...
Please go right in.
Christmas!
The lights are so pretty. This is perfect.
I can't believe this. Trapped here again.
What did you eat?
I didn't really want to spend another Christmas trap.
Somebody please help me!
Please wake up!
That
creepy silence every night. You still have that bottle of whiskey?
Waters.
Underneath the console.
Last Christmas still haunts me.
Time to let that go.
No one cares. Everyone would be better off if I was never born.
Billy, just cut the trailer. Come on. Let's move on. It's a Wonderful Night. For those of you who are uninformed, It's a Wonderful Knife, written by Michael Kennedy, directed by Tyler McIntyre, and stars Jane Whittup, Joel McHale, Justin Long, Catherine Isabel, a few other people. Now, you may be interested to know that Tyler McIntyre wrote and directed 2017's acclaimed horror comedy Tragedy Girls, and is also one of the credited screenwriters for this year's smash hit Five Nights at Freddy's. That's a surprise to me. And Michael Kennedy was also responsible for the screenplay for 2020's body swap slasher comedy Freaky, starring Vince Vaughn. Once again, this is a movie that is light years better than It's a Wonderful Life. I have no idea how these two people, who made some great horror comedies, ended up coming together to make, I don't want to say a bad horror comedy, but I want to say a thoroughly mediocre one.
To be honest, the only thing I remember is that, similar to It's a Wonderful Life, that it starts out and the lead character does something and then they wake up in a parallel universe. I feel like they're like, oh, we have to play into this idea so hard that we can't make an original, stupid, funny horror movie. We just got to play into this idea.
Well, the movie takes place in a town called Angel Falls. A guy named Henry Waters, played by Justin Long, seems to be trying to gain control over the entire town. He wants to own it. He's a real estate dude. He's in league with a dude named David Carruthers, played by Joel McHale, who has a family. His daughter, Winnie, and his son, Jimmy. Now, this is what threw me for a loop. Jimmy Carruthers is the name of the founder of Carruthers Coffee Roasters, and also our friend from high school. You remember what we used to call Jimmy back in,
in high school, right?
Space. Oh, well, yeah. Old Space.
Billy, we can't say Space on the air.
What? Because they
we can't say Space. I guess we can't call it Space.
What about Space?
Well, no, I guess there's technically like it's a rude term. Yeah, we can't call him. That really threw me for a loop because this guy is literally named Jimmy Carruthers. And do yourself a favor. I could not get past that. I'll be honest with you. The whole time I said, that's Jimmy Carruthers. Where's the creepy janitor? I don't know. There's no creepy janitor in this movie. I guess he's older. He was a senior, I think. Jimmy Carruthers is the older brother. He's gay. He's a cool dude. It's great. It's all fine. He's not very strong, let's be honest, because when he's getting overpowered by the angel, by the killer, at a certain point in this movie. You're thinking, this guy's he's a young, strapping man. He should be faring a little better against this serial killer dude. This town, Angel Falls, there's not much to it. Henry Waters and his younger brother, Buck, apparently just started an OnlyFans because he wants people to see his dick. They're trying to take over the town. The cigarette-smoking man from the X-Files is like the last holdout. He wants to take his real estate, and I don't care about any of that plot line. Henry Waters wants to take over a large swath of town, wants to build his own real estate development, basically win. He wants to win. Just the town. The people in town don't like him.
Kind of a douchebag.
Do you know, do you remember his catchphrase? Advertising?
I don't remember what that shit said.
I'm the best. F*** the rest. That's literally what it says. Like, that's advertised around town. F*** the rest. It's censored, but it says f*** the rest. It's clever. It's clever stuff. Winnie and her friend Jerry Jr. What's that lady's name?
Jerry the race car driver.
She's the cigarette-smoking man's granddaughter. She's Winnie's best friend. The cigarette-smoking man from the X-Files gets murdered by this serial killer they call the Angel first in his own house, gets his throat slit, and then just dies immediately.
Gail?
I'm going to look this up on ID. We got Henry. Gail is Catherine Isabel. She's the aunt. Jimmy Carruthers is Aiden. Judy is the mother. Darla's the lady who was banging Winnie's boyfriend on the side. Kara is her name. Kara is the granddaughter of the cigarette-smoking man. Yeah. No one likes Henry Waters because he's a dick. They just don't like him. But randomly on Christmas Eve, this guy who shows up wearing a costume that looks suspiciously like the angel that's on the top of the town's Christmas tree kills the cigarette-smoking man from the X-Files, who was the last holdout, the one who wouldn't sell to Henry Waters so that Henry Waters could realize his dream of being a real estate mogul, I guess, or whatever. Then he kills Kara, who is the cigarette-smoking man's granddaughter, right in front of Winnie, who is her best friend, at the Christmas party. Almost kills her brother, Jimmy Carruthers, who does not own Carruthers Coffee Roasters.
Did you just say Jimmy Carruthers?
I said Jimmy Carruthers.
That's right. Not our friends.
When Jimmy's about to get run through with that weird angel knife, Winnie takes a pair of jumper cables that's just attached to a generator or something close by, attaches them to the back of the angel serial killer, and he gets electrocuted. He's dead. She saves her brother's life and reveals the killer to be Henry Waters, Justin Long, with his bad dentures and everything. Yeah, it's very exciting because she just saved the day. She saved the day. It'll be cut to a year later. Things are going great for the Carruthers family. They got this real estate thing going. They're doing great. They're making a lot of money. Jimmy, fresh out of high school, is his dad's partner, his business partner. They're doing great. They're having a great time. They're making shitty commercials. Everything's great. Except for poor Winnie. Her best friend was murdered by a psychopath the year before. She hasn't quite gotten over it. She's been rejected from her college. She's not going to the college she wants to go to. Her brother got a new truck for Christmas and she got a tracksuit, so that's not great. She goes out to a bridge, just a random bridge in town, looks around. She hates her life. She's miserable. She wishes she were dead, all that good stuff. Looks up, Aurora Borealis in the sky. Random Aurora Borealis. That's the thing that happens. I wish I'd never been born. Kind of like our old friend George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know if you know, but there's a slight connection here. And the Aurora Borealis envelops her. It's miraculous glow. She finds herself in an alternate universe where she was never born, which means she was never around to kill the angel serial killer. So his reign of terror didn't end on Christmas Eve. This guy has been murdering people regularly for a year. in this town of Angel Falls for a year. Not only did he not, he killed more than a few people, three people on Christmas Eve, because he killed, in her timeline, the cigarette smoking man, his granddaughter, and her boyfriend. But apparently in this timeline, where Winnie was never born, he killed at least five people on that Christmas Eve, and then just came back to kill people like every 2 weeks for the next year. Meanwhile, Henry Waters, who actually is the killer, ran for mayor, won the election, and even though his whole platform as mayor was, hey, I'll keep you safe and catch the angel serial killer and stop his reign of terror, never stopped his reign of terror for a year. The whole town's okay with that. They're just fine with it. I'll keep you safe. Couldn't keep you safe for a year, but they're perfectly fine with it. So Winnie finds herself in this parallel universe where the angel serial killer is just running rampant. And also Buck is the sheriff. Who gives a shit? But all this is happening, and she has to find a way to
stop. Did you say Uncle Buck is the sheriff?
Yeah, John Candy was the sheriff.
Back they resurrected the his corpse to be a sheriff? That's so shameful.
Macaulay Culkin was there. She's cooking our garbage, you know, from the movie. That's what this movie was doing. It's cooking our garbage. Do you remember there's a character in the movie that everyone called Weirdo, and she becomes Winnie's linchpin in this parallel universe? Can you name the character? She's very important to the last 45 minutes of this movie. Basically, the second lead.
I remember the first 4 or 5 minutes of this movie.
They call her Weirdo, but do you remember the character's name? The first, I'll take the first name.
Beth.
Bernie. Her name's Bernie. Bernie Simon is the weirdo.
Oh my
and
god.
She becomes.
Not you, Simon. Fucking real.
No,
no. Oh, your second uncle's name was Bernie Simon.
Wait, listen, Simon is your surname? What's your first name?
This shitty movie did not rip off your family lineage. I don't want to hear it. Go back to listen to your improv jazz.
Bye. These people don't know who you are. Yeah, but that's
Bernie.
Bernie, basically the second lead for the rest of this movie. In this parallel universe, Winnie has to find somebody she can talk to, and she finds that kindred spirit in Bernie, the weirdo from the other timeline, the prime timeline, who nobody really liked. But she manages to make a connection with Bernie, and Bernie believes her story, that Henry Waters is actually anyway, the Aurora Borealis turns out, and this is some convoluted stuff that makes no sense to me. This is part of the plot. Bernie comes up with the idea that the Aurora Borealis was actually caused by a spirit who died violently. And the spirit who died violently in this case was Henry Waters. When Winnie killed Henry Waters on Christmas Eve, that created the Aurora. That Aurora Borealis you see is basically Henry Waters being angry. His spirit, like, oh, fuck you for killing me.
I was going to say, so that's him, his vengeful fireworks.
Yeah, so I guess his evil pulled her into a parallel timeline where she didn't exist because that's what she wished for. And in order to get her out of this timeline, they have to kill the angel serial killer. They eventually do that. The angel turns out to be her dad. In this timeline, Jimmy, she wasn't around to save Jimmy. So Jimmy Carruthers, not our Jimmy Carruthers, but Jimmy Carruthers died. Her father into a tailspin, and he ended up becoming the new angel killer because Henry Waters wanted him to kill for him. That part makes no sense to me.
Hold on. Simon fell over. I gotta help him. You're holding out on me, Simon?
Got some dope?
Give me that. Couldn't even share. You've been sober for 25 years, motherfucker.
He fell off the wagon tonight? That's not good.
Tonight. You know what?
Carrie, that's not good. Now, this is the part that doesn't make any sense to me.
This is the part.
They end up killing the angel. They kill the guy. And it turns out, no, it's actually Winnie's dad, played by Joel McHale. He's the guy who's been killing people this timeline for months and months.
The actual killer switches.
Yeah, so he's been killing people. But it turns out he's been working for Henry Waters all this time. So at some point, Henry Waters convinced Joel McHale or Mr. Carruthers to kill for him. Did he never learn Henry Waters killed his son? And then apparently in this timeline, if Winnie wasn't around to kill Henry Waters, he would have eventually convinced Joel McHale to kill for him, even though he killed his son. She thinks, oh, we killed the bad guy, so now I get to go back. No, Henry Waters is still alive. Why would you think you get to go back now? The main bad guy's still alive. You haven't killed him. He killed a henchman, basically. And so we have this weird situation where Bernie and Winnie go to confront Henry Henry Waters was having some kind of outdoor assembly with the townspeople hanging around watching the Naughty or Nice festival or whatever, when he calls people up and says, you've been nice, I'll give you a present. You've been naughty. If you pay attention, the people, like the townspeople watching this whole thing happen, they all have weird eyes. Like their eyes have been digitally manipulated. Like they all look possessed. Like they're under his spell. Buck, who's the sheriff in this timeline, Buck, you've been naughty. You put in for a transfer. You want to go to a different town. And Buck's like, I don't want to do this anymore, Henry. And so Henry murders his younger brother in front of all these people. And then his henchmen put him in an angel costume and then string him up. The people don't bat an eye because they're all possessed. This is the part that makes no sense to me. All these people are literally like supernaturally possessed now. They're all under his literal spell.
Before he was just a dude who got killed by a younger girl, but now it's like, it's weird.
Yeah, now he has supernatural power.
He killed enough people that he became magical and he could possess people.
Yeah,
wait.
And yet he's killed easily.
Immediately, a serial killer douchebag.
Bernie and Winnie just beat him up and kill him right there. That's what happens, man. This is what I hate. There's no suspense here. They just start punching him and then they kill him and he's dead. And that's it. There's this whole scene where he has a supernatural sway over the entire town. And then they just beat him up and they steal his power immediately and kill him. And that's it. The Aurora Borealis comes back down. Winnie wakes up back in her own timeline.
And so it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Well, in this situation, in this alternate timeline, we learn that Bernie works in the local movie theater. And that's where they try to have their big climactic showdown with the angel. In one of these sequences, Bernie relates to Winnie that she was, before she made this connection with Winnie, that she was planning to kill herself. Her intention, to commit suicide after Christmas. That was it. She told this to Winnie. You basically saved my life here. And they make a connection in this timeline that they never had before, which is kind of sweet. She tells Winnie, you basically saved my life. I like that. I was okay with that. And she winds up going back to her timeline. And this, look, I'll tell you, this is one of those weird things before she makes her wish and goes into the parallel universe. Her brother Jimmy, for Christmas, gets a new truck, and she gets a tracksuit. I think it was her mother says, well, you both got something you needed. Like, what the fuck does that mean? How does that make any sense in a rational mind? You spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a new truck for one of your kids, and for the other one, you buy like a $50 tracksuit.
Right.
How does that make any sense? There's no reason why these adults would act like this.
The over-the-top part just seems stupid a lot of times.
Like, Henry Waters as a character, first off. Well, what are you talking about, little lady? How are you? That's his whole character. He just talks in this shitty Southern accent with these bad dentures. And then, no, he's the killer. That's it. And then in the other timeline, where he's still alive, he has maybe two or three scenes. Even in this other timeline, he doesn't become a character. In Back to the Future 2, when you go into the alternate timeline where Biff took over Hill Valley, you get to spend a little more time with him.
Character.
He becomes a true villain, and you actually, oh my god, this guy is evil, this guy's fucked up. In this movie, in It's a Wonderful Knife, the actual villain of the movie, Henry Waters, he gets no other characterization. He's just
he hands it off just as quickly as when he died.
It's pathetic. How do you write a movie like this? You have an entire other timeline to explore this ridiculously over-the-top evil character, and you don't even bother to do it. Half of this movie, at least, takes place in a parallel universe where the bad guy wins, and you still don't know anything more about him. You get to spend a little time with evil Biff in the alternate timeline, and you learn a lot about him. You learn that he is a genuinely bad human being.
It didn't get better. It got much, much worse.
I mean, you spend a little time with this Biff, and you realize how much worse he is, and there's a little characterization there. With this movie, Henry Waters sucks and is a cipher. At the beginning of the movie, at the end of the movie, nothing has changed. You know nothing more about him. This annoying little piece of shit.
He's like the catalyst for some other shit, but the other shit isn't any better, and it doesn't really relate to it, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Not at all.
which just makes it all fucking stupid.
And then at the the end, when you have that big climax where he's basically has the entire town under his sway, Winnie and Bernie just beat him up and then kill him. That's it. That's the end. The townspeople don't rise up to try to save him. They don't rise up to stop him. They just stand there with dumb expressions on their faces while these two women beat him up and then kill him. Wouldn't it have been weirdly fucked up and cool if the townspeople literally tore him apart? That part where they knock him down, they knock him off that the stage into the crowd. For a second, I was thinking, well, wouldn't it be something if the crowd literally tore him apart? Tear him apart like wild animals. The spell's broken and they know this guy's a monster. They have to stop him. Instead, he just gets back up. Oh, you bitches, you beat me up, you bitches. And he's just being a misogynist prick again. And then they kill him because fuck this guy. The climax of this movie is so ridiculously anticlimactic that I could not believe it. I felt like there had to be something else coming, and then nothing else happened. Winnie woke up in her own timeline, realized she loved her life, and her family is like, oh, we love you, Winnie. It's Christmas. We're always here for you. And if you want to talk, blah, 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 blah. Wait, I have to go talk to Bernie because Bernie said she was going to kill herself on Christmas. And Bernie acts like, wait a minute, why are you talking to me? We're not friends. Why do you know me? And this is the part that's a cheat. And it is a cheat. It's an absolute cheat. But I was okay with it because I liked the characterization. Turns out Bernie remembers the alternate timeline. It makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. This version of Bernie would have memories of the alternate timeline. It doesn't make sense, but it doesn't matter because that's the only part of this I liked. I remember all of that. Now I guess we're a couple. That's it. That's all I needed out of this whole movie. We got chemistry, so let's keep this going. That's it. The rest of the movie sucked. It sucked.
Yeah, it sucked.
It's a Wonderful Knife was not a wonderful knife. It was a mediocre movie at best.
It was a drunk choice I made.
If someone had cared, they could have made a better movie out of this, but it felt very phoned in.
Tyler
McIntyre, the director, he made Tragedy Girls from 2007. Tragedy Girls is great. But Michael Kennedy, who wrote the movie, he also wrote Freaky. And Freaky is great. And both of these people came together to write and direct a movie that has almost no real momentum. The performances, for the most part, are all decent. There's no one bad in this movie. There's almost nothing for these actors to work with on the page.
Nothing against Justin Long, but like, if you don't have the right script in the right spot for him, whatever he's going to do just seems cheesy. And maybe it's just because of his face.
It was the accent the dentures and all that. It was all very cartoonish.
Yeah, I think all that made it just cheesy enough that it felt stupid. If it was just him playing an evil dude who was also like a sly cunning dude, whatever. But like when you put a bunch of other weird shit in there, I'm not trying to like talk shit. Maybe he's not the best actor. Maybe it was just the horrible part.
It had nothing to offer him. He's just a dumb accent and dentures. That's all he is.
There's not a lot of character depth involved in this particular situation.
He's not a character.
But there could have been.
Yes, there could have been. Here's something that really bothers
very easily
me.
Could have been, really.
There should have been.
It would not have been that difficult. Like, that's the point. That should have been the point.
Give us one scene in the parallel timeline. Just have him do one thing outside of the serial killer shit. That's just it.
Go to work, have a normal day, come home.
There's one thing that really bothers me. Maybe, I don't know if it should bother me, but what's the guy that played Buck? Is played by actor Sean Deppner. And this is just a little bit of trivia. He also played a character named Buck in an episode of Supernatural. That's just a coincidence. In the original timeline, a year later, Buck approaches Winnie and he's really angry because, oh well, yeah, you and your family, you're doing great now, aren't you? But me, I should kill you or whatever for what you've done because you destroyed my life, my brother. Now I'm a pariah in this town or whatever. That one scene where Buck is bitter and angry because his life is over. His brother's a psycho murderer. He's been dead for a year. That basically ruined my life too. Now they could have done something with that in the alternate timeline. Henry kills his brother because his brother, who is the sheriff, applies for a transfer. He wants to get out of town. And so Henry murders him in front of the town and then strings him up, puts him in an angel costume and strings him up. And so I'm thinking we could pay that off when Winnie comes back to the normal timeline and have her try to reconcile with Buck in some way, because turns out maybe he's not a bad guy and Henry would have killed him anyway. His brother's a fucking monster and doesn't care about his own family. We could pay that off, right? Instead, we don't pay that off. When we get back to the primary timeline, I guess, you never see Buck again. That whole thing made no sense. It didn't matter. It felt like they were teeing something up in that scene, and then there's no payoff. It just... there's just nothing. And I think that's really just bad storytelling. I will say that's bad storytelling. It's just half-baked, I guess, maybe. The whole movie is half-baked. It's like they had an idea, and then they didn't try to flush it out. They just went with the idea. There's no meat on the bones. It's just a skeleton of a movie that's still somehow almost 90 minutes. This movie shouldn't feel like it drags because it's not even 90 minutes long, but it still feels too long. What the fuck are we doing? What are we doing?
The point is.
I would say I think ultimately the movie had potential, but it doesn't realize any of it.
It teases a good idea.
When Winnie gets back to her timeline, reconciles with her family, it's all very saccharine, really over the top. That was too much. You can have real emotions in a movie like this. You don't have to make it all over the top and fake. You can try to have people act realistically, but this movie just didn't give a damn about any of that. It's Christmas. Let's all try to have a good time. And the way the other characters were acting about the events of the previous year before Winnie wound up in the parallel dimension was all, you know, we just don't want to talk about it. We don't want to be sad. Okay, fuck you. That's not how it works. And then when they're in the parallel universe, everything sucks. Everyone's miserable. But yeah, I get that. That part I get. Why does everything have to overcompensate by being so over the top, ridiculously saccharine in the Prime universe when everything's fine again? Like, everything's great. Everyone's happy. Big smiles. And we're going to be a big, happy family and we're going to reconcile. Blah, 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 blah. Just fucking don't. Just try. Just try to be like a real movie. Even if you can't be like, well, It's a Wonderful Life. They went over the top with the emotion. It's like, are you sure about that? I mean, all of it. Like, the good and the bad. There's real human emotion in that movie. Is it over the top? A bit, but it's earned. In this movie, all the ridiculous over the top shit with her family, it feels like Stepford Wife stuff. Come on down, it doesn't feel Simon, natural.
Simon, shut up.
Based on the pedigree, like the writer and director were people who made movies previously that I really enjoyed. This feels like they were all just coasting. I was hoping for better. What did I get? I got a wet fart, basically.
Like a Hallmark movie version.
Kinda. It's all so jokey and stupid. I'm not saying it has to be serious. I don't want serious out of a premise like this. That's not going to work. But this almost played like a parody.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where when you're half in between a funny version and a total parody, this is like 1 foot in, 1 foot out, where it's trying to be one thing, but it's not fully committed to being a parody because it actually has a kind of cool premise and idea, but also handles it in a totally stupid and ridiculous way. It feels like a half-assed version. It could have been something cool, but it ended up just being kind of stupid.
Yeah, there's no connection with me as an audience. There's no connection. I'm just watching this. I'm bored out of my mind.
Yeah, meh. That's dumb. Why did that happen? That for an hour, it's like, okay.
For an hour and a half. You know, this had potential, but it squandered all of it.
It's getting cold in here. Hold on, Gora. I gotta
throw some more movies on the fire and hope you don't choke on the black smoke.
Whatever, Simon. We're here.
What, Billy? What? I have no control over that, Billy. The fuel levels are the phones fixed? No, the phones. Yeah, great, fantastic, Billy. Thanks for the sit rep. I really appreciate that. Well, that was our conversation on 2023's "It's a Wonderful Knife." Which was not a wonderful time, I'll tell you that much. Dear listener, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. This program was supposed to be dedicated to you. You were supposed to be calling in, leaving donations, telling us about your favorite Christmas gifts. And
we were supposed to be taking shots every time we hit donation goals.
Yeah.
And I'm over here drinking this fucking garbage prison wine, thinking it's the fucking snowpocalypse for real.
I think we made a mistake because you're burying the lead. Poor Simon is falling way off the wagon, and that's not good. We need to reconcile with that in the new year because this might be our fault.
Yeah. You hear that, motherfucker? You you're going to have to reconcile with this shit in the new year.
We were supposed to finish this whole fundraising marathon strong in our final hour. And
we had another hour left.
Yes, we did. But look, this is complete. This is out of our control. This ice storm was supposed to go south. It was supposed to dodge us entirely. Instead, it is a nightmare outside. This is not our fault. You can't blame this on us.
Because there's 2 inches of ice. So stay in your goddamn houses, or you will end up in the ditch or dead.
What was the name of that creature that was in the snow? You remember that?
The cryptids the episode? Braid?
No, the braid. Not the braid. It was the thing that was in the snow, like the wolf with no legs. You remember that?
Pretty sure it's the braid.
No, the braid was like the lady that got killed by a butcher and turned into a tree monster. What was the name of the one that was like in the snow? Like a graboid in the snow, but it was a wolf with no legs?
I don't remember.
The Whippet or some shit? Or the Whippin or the...
Whatever it is, it's out there right now.
The bottom line is, It's a Wonderful Knife sucks. We were supposed to finish this whole fundraiser thing. And like, we were close to meeting our goal. We were close. We had to suspend the fundraiser for the time being. A situation got pulled out of our hands. We literally can't take your calls right now. Our phone lines are down, and we here at 66.6 KTRP, we're going to offer our sincere apologies to the J. Bailey Memorial Foundation for this unfortunate pause in our holiday fundraiser. We hope to get this all sorted out.
We'll make it up to you in the new year.
We absolutely will. That is the promise, because we have a great desire in our hearts to hand over a big check to the foundation right now.
After all we've been through.
Well, it's not just us. After what's happened tonight, a lot more families in the metro area are going to need help in the aftermath of this storm. So that check is needed. But since we can't move ahead with our scheduled broadcast, and this live transmission is really putting a strain on our emergency generators here at the studio, I'm going to have to make a decision here. We're going to have to sign off for now. KTRP is not going dark. We're going to be leaving you, dear listeners, with a rebroadcast of an earlier holiday show. Billy, what do we got? No, look, Billy, I don't care what you play. Carrie's phone battery is like dying
now. 12% left, bro.
And we've got no show. We need to play something. To fill the time. You got to play something.
We have an entire hour left.
Let's just cut to a commercial break, and we'll figure out what we're going to broadcast during the break. Carrie, do you have any final words for our dear listeners before we sign off?
Merry Christmas, and don't die.
That's fair enough. Now, Billy, do you have anything? No, of course you don't. Dear listener, this is your friend Gore the Boar, broadcasting live here at the KTRP studio. On behalf of everyone here at 66.6 KTRP,
your home for the holidays,
I'm going to wish you all a very merry and very safe Christmas. I want you to stay off the roads and stay inside where you're all cozy and warm with the ones you know. And we'll talk to you soon. Now keep it tuned in to KTRP all day. The latest updates on this developing situation, and happy holidays.
The Devil's Den. 2 floors of unrelenting terror located on the corner
Billy, no.
The Sixth Street
Haunt
is for adults only, so leave that.
We're not playing a Devil's Den ad. Okay, Billy, play something else. I don't care. Do a Carruthers ad, like Carruthers Coffee. Do that. They're still sponsors. We're still friends with Jimmy.
Jimmy Carruthers, come on. It makes sense with the stupid-ass movie I got drunk and forgot about.
This is dead air, Billy. Come on, play something.
Wait, what do you have?
KTRP, your home for the holidays.
Did we do that?
This Christmas, give yourself the gift that keeps on giving. Go to CarruthersCoffeeRoasters.com and sign up for our Flavor of the Month subscription service. Each month, you'll receive in the mail a freshly roasted whole bean pound of Carruthers' famous flavored coffee. Or come on down to Carruthers Coffee Roasters at 1333 North Main Street, right next to the 66.6 KTRP studio. Grab some fresh Carruthers merch. We've got hats, beanies, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and our newest edition, edible coffee-flavored panties. Merry Christmas from your friends at Carruthers Coffee Roasters.
Tired of that same old bubble tea? Sick of those stale leftover donuts? Get your buns down to glazed and infused today for a fresh take on donuts and tea. Now open in the Marty's Market Strip Mall, y'all.
Phantom Planet Books and Curiosities would like to welcome you to our holiday extravaganza. 2 for $4 paperbacks and $5 hardcovers for the remainder of the year. Don't forget to check out our newly stocked curio cabinets with freshly recharged quartz worry stones from the heart of the Mojave. Also grab a 100-million-year-old fossilized bifurcated bivalve. These rare Cretaceous fossils will put a smile on your loved ones' faces today. Stop by Phantom Planet Books and Curiosities. We've got it.
Merry Christmas from your friends at 666 KTRP, your home for the holidays. The following is a rebroadcast from 2016, already in progress.
Hey, a crypt Miss Michael Love gave to me. 10 heads come flopping, 9 stranglers strangling, 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 16 disemboweling, 5 mortal wounds, 4,000 pounds, 3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shouts, and a trip to the mortuary. On the 11th day of crypt, Miss My Cool Love gave to me 11 choppers chopping, 10 heads ka-flopping, 9 stranglers strangling, 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends disemboweling, 5 mortal wounds, 4,000 bones, 3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary. On the 12th day of crypt, Miss Michael Love gave to me 12 axemen lopping, 11 choppers chopping, 10 heads ka-flopping, 9 stranglers strangling, 8 manglers mangling, 7 werewolves howling, 6 fiends disemboweling, 5 mortal wounds, 4,000 fold, 3 lethal blows, 2 murderous shoves, and a trip to the mortuary. I don't deserve all this happiness.
That was the 12 Days of Cryptmas from the holiday album Have Yourself a Scary Little Christmas, released by Capitol Records in 1994 at the tail end of the Tales from the Crypt craze. HBO Crypt Keeper voice actor John Cassier reprised his iconic role for this record that parodies many well-known holiday standards with a suitably macabre twist. Unfortunately, this festive holiday album has been long out of print and sells for exorbitant prices on the secondary market, which is a real shame because Have Yourself a Scary Little Christmas is far from a lazy cash grab, a perfect alternative to the standard holiday music for weirdos like us. This is the Holiday Hit Parade on 66.6 KTRP, your home for the holidays. I'm Gore the Boar, filling in for Rex Banter this festive morning, and the year's theme is an alternative Christmas. The jaded helper elves we employ here at the studio have handpicked each one of the songs on this morning's special episode to celebrate this special holiday in our own special way. Our pal Rex Banter decided to take a little holiday break this year, and I believe he and his dear wife Linnea are currently catching some rays on a picturesque Caribbean beach, drinking cocktails out of coconut shells decorated with those adorable little colored umbrellas. But the joke's on him, because the real party this morning is right here in the KTRP studio. We're playing all your favorite alternative holiday hits this morning, providing you with the perfect soundtrack for all your alternative Christmas traditions. Now, let's say Merry Christmas to our beloved producer Billy Bones. Looks like you might have overdone it last night at the office Christmas party, pal. I have to admit, you killed it at karaoke. I've never heard such a spirited rendition of Christmas with Satan. Kudos, Billy. Now, I'm going to be spending my Christmas night DJing the Naughty or Nice Gala down at the Foxhole. Those bears aren't ready to hibernate just yet, and it's going to be a great time. So if any of you dear listeners out there are feeling festive, come on down and join the party. Doors open at 8 and there's a $10 cover, but 50% of all profits tonight go directly to the J. Bailey Food Bank, so it's debauchery for a good cause. All right, let's keep things rolling this Christmas morning with our next alternative holiday hit. This one's a recent addition to the alternative canon from that legendary soul singer with a golden voice, Sharon Jones. Last October, Jones teamed up with the Dap Kings once again to release It's a Holiday Soul Party, a seasonal album that includes a number of her own clever takes on Christmas standards, such as Funky Little Drummer Boy and God Rest Ye Merry Gents. But we're spinning one of her album's more original hits this morning. And if you haven't heard it yet, you'll be in love by the time it's over. It may be just another Christmas song, but you might as well sing along.
Oh,
That just puts you in a good mood, right? Well, I don't mean to bring everyone down,
but of course, Sharon Jones recently passed away. Unfortunately, she suffered a stroke on Election Day while watching the poll results come in, and even blamed her stroke on now-President-elect Donald Trump's victory. But she left this world on November 18th at age 60. And since we're already in a melancholy mood, let's just keep on going with our next song. Based on an actual encounter between Dan Fogelberg and an old flame back in 1975, the singer-songwriter composed the following bittersweet tune in 1980, first released as a standalone single before being included in his seminal 1981 album, The Innocent Age. The song tells the story of Fogelberg stealing a little time with the one that got away in the backseat of her car with a six-pack of beer after a chance encounter on Christmas Eve. So let's drink a toast to innocence. Let's drink a toast to time. Reliving in our eloquence, another Auld Lang Syne.
Met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was falling Christmas Eve. I stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we cried.
that last verse always hits me like a sledgehammer. Now, a lot of people have interpreted that final line as a glimmer of hope. Since with snow turning to rain, it must be getting warmer, right? Fogelberg thought that was a beautiful notion, but entirely unintentional, since as he recalled the experience back in 1975, as the pair parted ways, the falling snow really did just turn to rain. After Fogelberg's death in 2007, the woman referred to in the song, one Jill Anderson Grulich, came forward and confirmed the events of Same Old Lang Syne were essentially true. Aside from a few bits of artistic license, of course, the pair really did meet coincidentally at a convenience store on Christmas Eve in Peoria, Illinois, back in 1975, and they spent 2 hours catching up on old times over a six-pack in the backseat of her car. All right, we're moving on from bittersweet to straight-up bitter as we enter the home stretch of our holiday hit parade. Born in 1987 in London, that's London, England, Kate Nash made a big splash in the UK with her second single, Foundations, following up with a smash hit debut album, 2007's indie pop marvel Made of Bricks. Nash gradually gravitated toward a more grunge and punk-inspired sound that hit its zenith in 2012 with the album Girl Talk and an EP collaboration with DIY pop punk trio The Tuts called Have Faith with Kate Nash This Christmas. Time to wake up with the lead single from Kate Nash's festive EP, I Hate You This Christmas.
Got too drunk at the Christmas party. Pizza, my dress, I guess I better leave. On the way home, I take a detour. I wanna see you, I wish I never saw. Get the key from under the mat. Trying to find the light, stumble around. I swear I heard a noise, what's that sound? Well, that's my best friend, and you're going down. It's Christmas once again, but you're fake, I'm one of my friends. Well, I heard her candy might taste better than mine. I love that one weather. Yeah, it's Christmas once again, but you're fake, I'm one of my friends. Well, I heard her candy might taste better than mine. I love that one weather. I hate her, I hate her, I hate you. This Christmas. Everyone's excited about going home, but I'm embarrassed to tell my mom. All the Christmas lights and the mistletoe are only making me feel more alone. All the state appeared to stand on the hill, even gods to fill with goodwill. I head to the bar to see old faces. We're in old streets but new places. It's Christmas once again, but you're fake, up in one of my friends. Well, I hope her candy not tastes better than one of my friends. Well, I heard her candy not taste better than mine's. I love that word weather. I hate her, I hate her, I hate you this Christmas. Well, I guess there's other girls you've heard. Well, I guess that means you really suck. Well, I hope you feel alone this Christmas. You can say goodbye to this girl.
Same Old Lang Syne, Kate Nash's I Hate You This Christmas was also unfortunately inspired by actual events. In the artist's own words, it's a song for anyone who's been f***ed over by their boyfriend or girlfriend. It's a good Christmas anthem for people in that situation. And we couldn't agree more. It's just about time to wrap things up here on this year's alternative holiday hit parade, and if I may say, I think we're going out on a high note this morning. Born in Christmas Day, 1957, the Pogues frontman Shane McGowan seemed destined to make his mark on the holiday. In November 1987, he did exactly that. After several years of collaboration and frustration in and out of recording studios, including the loss of the band's longtime producer Elvis Costello, as well as their own bass player and original intent intended female vocalist for the song Cato Reardon, things finally came together under the guidance of new producer Steve Lillywhite, who volunteered his own wife, Kirsty McColl, to lay down guide vocals for the track. The band was so impressed with McColl's vocals that they decided to make use of her talents in the final song. Fairy Tale of New York tells the story of an Irish immigrant spending his Christmas Eve in a New York City drunk tank who becomes lost in remembrances of a lost love and how their youthful exuberance was crushed by addiction, bitterness, and mutual resentment. Praised for its raw emotion and lack of forced sentimentality, the song quickly became the band's biggest hit and was recognized as the UK's favorite Christmas song in 2012. To paraphrase The Guardian writer Dorian Lynskey, it's the anti-Christmas song that became the Christmas song for a generation. That's it for the Holiday Hit Parade this morning, but don't forget to keep it tuned into 66.6 KTRP, your home for the holidays, all day long for more of your favorite Christmas music, as well as the latest news and weather updates. And you're not going to want to miss Dr. Butcher's giant-sized
A Christmas to Dismember
edition of Transmissions from Elsewhere later tonight. And don't forget, you've got one more present to unwrap before it's all over, since the Gruesome Twosome will be back at midnight for some Yuletide Witching Hour shenanigans. Billy, I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. I hear the bells ringing out for Christmas Day, and I can see a better time when all our dreams come true. Happy holidays, everybody.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18 to 1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome,
you were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the junk they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
That
you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're all so great, God, it's our love.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
I could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
The boys of the NYPD choir still singing, go away, babe. And the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
So this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear one, the old and the young.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear.
So this is Christmas, for weak and for strong, the rich and the poor ones. The road is so long, and so happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow and red ones. Let's stop.
That's it. That's all I got. This is the whole gym.